Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, Saturday.
One of the free groups that you can join from allpoetry.com. So if you like what you're hearing and you want to follow along with the words and the music, then get yourself to a team of voices on allpoetry.com, where you will be met by the door by Deborah Lee, my co-host. Hello, Deb. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very, very well. And then, if you like the lyrics of that particular song, it's a pity we can't go get shouted and shy from the Faroe Islands and drag her kicking and screaming back to the US or somewhere else. But we can't. She's not with us anymore. But the person who wrote those lyrics is, hello, Hatter, how are you?
I will send you the lyrics, copies of the lyrics for 1995.
There you go. No, it's most impressive. Lots of lyrics. Now, and indeed, attached to that, we have a couple of other members of our group, which would be Rack. Hello, Rack, how are you?
Good evening, guys. I'm doing good.
Excellent. And we have none other than Mr. Wayne from the group as well. How are you going, Wayne?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm hanging in there. How about you?
The reigning Tic Mac Pole champion.
That's the one. And in addition to that, we have Stephen and or Kay and or Kay and or Stephen and or Kay.
Just Stephen. Kay's busy doing some other stuff.
Now, I know you will be on a timetable, which is tight, but I'm just going to do a little bit of administration here because during the week we had the Winter Park Poetry Competition, and we had the great joy of having all of those poems recited, except for a couple where we didn't have permission to do so. And Mark Andrew J. Terry did his wonderful sort of job of going along and talking to all of the pieces that we had. But one that we didn't have permission to actually go and do at the time, but we do now, was by Old Faithful. So I thought we should put that up on the board first, and then, Stephen, I'm going to go to you. So bear with me just for one tick while I read the honourable mention of the Winter Park Competition by Old Faithful, which is a poem called Knolls at Night, which is the image by Michelle Held. And, of course, it goes a little bit like this. Streams of bright lights ooze from the Knolls Chapel steeple, as if the angel Gabriel were standing inside, looking on as a soprano rings out, exultate, jubilate in lines of Mozart excellence, like bells carried by the four winds of heaven and earth. Up from the streets of Winter Park, the audience is lifted to heights of longing, flying the night sky on the wings of music celestial and sweet. And your hand captures this brilliant cantata in colours of blue, white and gold. Gold bursting through windows white, singing into the dark blue night, with coloratura bel canto. End poem. There you go. Couple of little bits and pieces just to give you a little bit of movement and stuff around that poem. Exultate, jubilate is a motet by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, so written back in 1773. And the words coloratura bel canto means in opera very fast movement in the higher registers. So there you go. Tends to be the sopranos who get into that. But there you go. That is the poem, Deb, that we didn't get a chance to read earlier in the week, but we have now. Did you want to make a few comments?
Yeah, I'd love to. I thought that the wording absolutely captured the photo from the very first line, and I really like that, streams of bright light ooze. I've heard light do a lot of things, but not ooze, and it fits so well with a painting. And I like the bells carried by the four winds of heaven and earth. So I thought that each little stanza was like a snippet that helped to give us a history for Michelle Held's art. And I think that Old Faithful did a fantastic job, and I want to say congratulations on that honorable mention. Excellent brevity.
Indeed. Hatter, did you want to say a few words about that piece before we move forward?
First, also, that is an outstanding picture. I did not get to see the paintings that were put on it, but the poem, you could tell there's a good sense of intelligence behind this way she pieced it together. That speaks loud for the talent of the poet and the range of her, the well she draws her lines from. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Hatter. And I did want to make a comment of the fact that I have sung some Mozart before, and however, I made a fundamental mistake, and that was that when you are a baritone, you should really sing the bass line, not the tenor line. But given that there were only 9 tenors in this whole performance group of 120, I figured having 10 was better than having 9. And so we sang Mozart's Requiem in St. Paul's Cathedral, and I think we were heard for about the first 2 bars. very strong entry by the tenors in that particular song. And then I don't think we were heard ever again, as we were drowned out by a raft of basses and a raft of ladies singing beautiful soprano, which was beautiful, except you couldn't hear a word of the tenors. And it was noted in the newspaper review the day after. They said it was a great effort by two of the different lines, but they couldn't hear what the other two lines were, and it might as well have been a two-line part, not four. Anyway, such is life, you know. You go through life, sometimes you don't get good reviews. You know what it's like. It's all the world's a stage, as they say. And with that, Stephen, you saw that beautiful sort of segue there, you know, that we used, to get to your piece. You see, you wondered what I was doing, but you know, you just had to bear with me for a tick. And I'm putting your poem up on the board now. And I don't have to, because Deb's already done it. So she's beaten me to a punch. So, it's not unusual. Stephen, I'm going to hand the microphone to you.
All right. Well, when I saw the prompt as a stage, go back to a picture prompt Monday where Deb gave me a picture that's on the top of this poem. It looks like a carrot standing up on a stage with a top hat and a tuxedo and a cane. That's what it looks like. It all made me think of the prompt and the prompt for both the picture prompt Monday and the prompt for tonight made me think of how most of us hide things. And we put on a fake face to make everybody think it's okay, everything's okay, and that's pretty much what this piece is about. And I call this Pain is Hidden Below the Stage. Grasped by vernal emerald leaves, forcefully uprooted from Arcadia, thrown into humid steam of piss and rust torment. Whiteout flashbacks to blur, but a cracked tile and butterflies of panic aching to burst from Andaman. In ruby explosion of blood and guts, flooded opal eyes filled with cobalt memories, arcing spine roaring propitiously, while sanctitude swallows the harmonica to play its revolting dirge. But all that is seen is a sharp-dressed life of the party, discourse highlights of gold and silver, throw back the stagnant champagne and choke on diamond shards shredding the esophagus, isolated satellite buries its skull under unpolluted pillows, and nightmares of a rotten asbestos-filled pastry are regurgitated through nostrils. End poem.
Very, very. Well, it is a carrot hatter. Did you want to start off talking about it first? Did you want to give the first comment?
Did you say hatter?
I did.
You did, okay. I looked at that picture and I went, how would I write or what would I write to? And I usually have an inkling of something I would do, and I was drawing it blank and go, how in the hell? We've got little bitty legs. But where's that? What's that? Whiteout flashbacks to blur, but a cracked tile and butterflies of panic aching to burst from abdomen and ruby explosions of blood and guts. Okay. I think I was lost right there. Flooded open eyes feel like a
well,
I had bugs
what?
Splattering on the windshield. I had bugs splattering on the windshield. I had rotting abdomen gases. I was all over the place.
Well, I have to explain what I thought that was, Hatter. I thought that was a fairly graphic but pretty accurate reflection of nerves. When you stand up on a stage and you're by yourself and everybody's looking at you, it there is a horrible habit of getting butterflies and feeling as if your guts is about to burst and your voice sort of cracks and sort of straightens, and it's a very, very ordinary feeling. But I thought Stephen captured it pretty well, but I could be completely wrong. You can tell me I'm completely wrong.
No, no, that's pretty close.
Pretty close.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So no bugs flat, in other words, chill. Okay, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Hatter. Wayne, what did you think of the top hat?
I think it was a delicious poem. And I can't wait to get a snack from that. It's a little hard to swallow. It's a little hard to swallow that harmonica. But there's a lot of descriptive indigestion in this poem. And I like it, and I swallow it whole. Good job.
Thanks, Wayne.
With you all the way, Wayne. And I'm Rack. Did you want to say a few words about this piece from Stephen?
I enjoyed it very much, Stephen. I would have probably tried to go towards Carrot Top, but I would have ran into a dead end. You did a much better job, you know, the way that you went. I think you handled it beautifully. You've got the nerves. You've got the standing out in front of the crowd and that smile, you know, all of it, you know, to make everyone believe that everything's all right and you're in complete control of the situation. So, yeah, it's very relatable. You did a wonderful job with it, Stephen. I enjoyed it very much.
There you go.
Thanks, Rack.
Thank you, Rack. I'm going to invite into the studio because she's only been waiting for about 5 minutes. Sweet, how are you going, Sweet?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am very well. Yes, I'm very well. Thank you for asking. I've already had a busy day this morning, done the breakfast thing, went to a market, looked after a stall, and gave my brother a break. So that was good fun. Anyway.
Thank you.
Putting all that fun aside, it was all good fun. Stephen, I think we should go to you because I know that it is, of course, late and you've got obviously things coming up tomorrow, but I thought I should give you a chance to talk about the programs you've got coming up.
Well, let's see, our next couple of shows. Monday night is the Mortuary of Shadows at 7:13 Eastern. That is its new start time, permanent start time. And that is Dark Christmas Picture Props. Kay found some very odd ones to inspire the pen. And then Wednesday is the Poetic Inklings at 10 p.m. Eastern, and we have quotes from the Charles Dickens Christmas Carol.
Oh, please, sir, can I help more?
That's the one.
Oh, Oliver.
That's the one. Very nice. Bye-bye. Very nice. I'll talk about that in one tick too, Rack. So, but thank you, Stephen, and very, very happy for you to hang out and with us a little bit longer. But if you have to disappear into the night, we understand.
I have to take off, but everybody have a good night.
Thank you
very much.
No, Stephen, always great to have you. Thank you.
Nice, Stephen. Say hi to Kay.
So thank you to Stephen and Kay and Stephen, who always support our shows and are always there for us in the first little bit. So now, Deb, this week we have a world of collaborations, I believe.
We do. We have two this week.
We do. And so
two?
I thought we might... Two. I know. And these are both... The unsort of, you know, because there's not a chance for people to compare notes, so to speak, as per a normal collaboration. This is a series of blind collaborations. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So to speak. Okay. So.
And I have I have our weekly one between you and Mr. Hatt. And he did double duty this week and wrote a second one with Sweet Pea. So.
Well, he's probably going to be complaining about how much writing he's been doing, Deb. You realize that?
He might.
He'll be looking for sort of extra duties allowance and stuff. He'll be looking for extra cash. You're above and beyond
what
he normally
paid. I'll note that.
Okay, good. Good thinking, Deb. We shall note the fact that when we all start getting paid, for this particular week, Hatter deserves more.
But we could pay him
150% of what he gets now for this week.
We could. You're right.
You can say what I'm saying. Yeah.
Are you talking about me?
He gets 150% of nothing. He still gets nothing.
Right.
He might feel better about it. You see what I'm saying? That's the wonder of math. Most people get upset about math, so I think math is your friend on times like these. Because, you know, when you take 1.5 times nothing, you still end up with nothing. Anyway, putting that to one side, since Sweet just joined us, we probably should do the Hacker Sweet combination first.
Oh, yes, please.
Great mind.
Yeah. Yeah,
is Sweet here? Sweet's here?
Just click it.
Yes, Sweet is
lovely.
Here.
All right. Hi, Sweet. Come sit over here by me.
Okay.
So,
I'm going to sit up. I'm sitting right by you, baby.
There you go. Now, have you clicked upon the poem?
Yes.
All
right.
I have now.
Right.
My dazzling title for their poem is called Leapfrogging the Ticks and Racing the Tocks. Here we go. This is, oh, by the way, a collaboration between Sweet Pea and Jay Hatter. Clocks choked on salted seawater, so Alice bring rain to start the game that only Hatter will know. Demonic clock faces giggle at Alice's fears, but she knows above her shows the places Hatter's gone, holding wonderland surprises in purple and grays that show, followed by a place to go. So he wanders into a place not free. Not a tick or tock can separate Hatter from a smile on Alice's face as she seeks her one way out by reading all the signs, and Hatter walks on water to confuse the hands of time and listens to the echo of those tick-tock rhymes. Now all his hats wear silver lining magic. Let him walk across hours looking at the faces of those unknown races that gather at the end of time. Then crystal teardrops fall from the 12 and drop on the 6 with hearts and clubs from up above. The Red Queen now takes aim. Ebony waves blend into the shadows, choking away the days, and she acts as if politics, because no one acts the same. Alice's blue dress is tattered by jagged rocks and walls of the cave, and we find in the lines the feeling that time is never again our friend. The moon shined on her fawn-colored hair, counting pink paper roses to divide the sweet potato pies the Hatter shares, serving her warm spoonfuls as this trip ends. End poem.
There you go. I was very surprised by, well, no, I wasn't surprised with the number of Alice's, but there's no Sweet in the 5 Hatters, Hatter. How does that work?
Well, Sweet is Alice.
Well, maybe, but anyway, you say so. But anyway, I just was sort of like, both of you sort of went there. But anyway, Barbara, from me, it probably made sense to Rack, because Rack knows what he's doing when he's listening to a poem. Rack, what did you think?
I enjoyed this very much. It's quite a little journey. Hatter walking on water, that was pretty cool imagery there. The tears from the clock were fantastic. You know, the both voices blended very well together to make this into something. You know, I could see it as a Saturday short, little cartoon. It was really cool. The sweet potato pie, I mean, got me hungry, of course. You know, but how to share. So, you know, that's always a welcoming thought. So, you know, it was really cool. It was really cool.
So, indeed. Wayne, what was your view of this little ditty?
I think it's a wonderful poem, a great rendition of the Alice in Wonderland type of place to be. Beautifully written, especially part of Sweet. I got to start with her a little bit. No, this whole poem is fantastic. And Deb did a great job reading it. A great collab. Y'all did a great job collabing on this. Enjoyed it a lot.
Awesome comment. And I just realized, AP, that sweet potato pie is sweet pea as well. So she...
I'll give you that. But what did you think, Deb, of this piece that we literally just put together? You know, what was your sense?
I kind of liked it. I liked that it's fun and a story and played into the fact that, I mean, Sweet jumped into the role of Alice, and she's got more than a dozen pieces that she wrote. And then now they're both bringing stories to Wonderland and changing things up a bit. And I'm sorry, Sweet, my last vision just went to a Sunday, Alice. Anyway. But, yeah, no, I kind of liked...
She wasn't on a tree.
Well, besides the whistle from the train, I also was thinking of the one that had her made me hide. So, like, yeah, they've been having a lot of fun with their role playing. Let's leave it at that. And, and I got, like, because I thought this spun into a nice little tale. And, you know, when you end with warm spoonfuls of sweet potato pie, what else do you want?
That's right.
That's very nice. I agree with you. I agree with you. So it rolled along quite nicely. I thought as a cohesive story, and that is not always the case, Tip, when you put two things together from people who have actually gone spoken to each other. So I think they did exceptionally well. So and a first collab too, I think.
Thank you, and I want you to take note, if you look in the author's notes, Sweet Pea's line number one says, Hatter, listen to the echoes of TikTok rhymes. And his number one says, Hatter walks on water to confuse the hands of time. So they just started off throwing rhyme into my mind. But it struck me that they both started their whole lists with Hatter. I enjoyed it.
No, it's a beautiful thing. So, and as I said, well done. Because they're not easy, to be honest, because you have to have some sort of sense what somebody else is doing, and you have to sort of put yourself out there in the absence of understanding what on earth the other person's done, and so it can end up in a mess if you're not careful, if you're not in the right sort of, you know. Headset,
mind frame,
a better word. So, yeah,
this is true. Because,
so,
like,
know,
Hatter himself,
so,
if you look, I think he used Alice, the word Alice, like 4 to 6 times, and I think Sweet used it once or twice. So, you know, you can't use it 7 or 8 times. Put it in there.
Well, no.
But yeah,
no,
yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, no.
Well,
I think it worked really
brilliant.
Well. There you go. And that helped. Well,
I thought it, I really do. I think you put it together really well. I was like, okay, let's see what she does with this. I don't know what she's going to do with these guys, but this is what I see. I really liked it. Hatter did wonderful with his lines. I think they're really great. Yeah, I really do. I like that we both talked about him being on water, though, or like going to the end, you know, to where the water ends. So that was really cool.
Yeah, he had them walking on water. You gave them silver lining hats, which, by the way, I love that metaphor, silver lining hats. But, yeah, you guys did really, really well. And I will pass him the photo for next week's, and then we will see what you
all
do
right.
Then.
Yes.
Yeah, I was so afraid. I was afraid of writing too long a lines because of the – when you first start doing these, you tend to use smaller lines, which, of course, Sweet Pea didn't do. I shouldn't have worried about it. It should have been fine. It's just what I was thinking. When you first start making, she wants phrases, just little lines, you tend to not think about the long run on line, which can be an inner rhyme, in fact, I do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't want to. I didn't want to overpower your lines, feeling they're probably a little more shorter than they will be next week. But that was my only thought. So otherwise than that, it was all good.
Better you do you, and they'll do them, and I'll be the one to worry about who's overpowering. All you have to do is tell me what you see, or whatever the case may be. You overthink it, and then you stop having fun.
That's exactly right, Deb. You overthink it, and then you never quite know where you're up to. Anyway, let us head forward, because we have a piece from Rack, and we have a piece in the studio from Rack. So I'm going to play your piece now, Rack, and we will come back and talk about it shortly.
Thanks, sweets.
Vocals in Darkness by Raconteur. My voice disperses as it attempts flight, swallowed by shadows fading from sight. Gateway into the night, darkness devours the light. Still, there's music that surrounds us, contained in whispers, murmurs, and agonized screams. Beauty layered in every note, tinged with naive hopes and shattered dreams. Shadows offer solace, like the innocence of the womb or the finality of death. In between, there's nothing but vulnerability and the passing of time with every breath. No place louder than in the conservatory of my breast, one time replete with the echoes of concerts long since completed, melodies that once resonated, any vestiges long since depleted, creating a vacuum so profound, I feel my core tearing me asunder. No sound ever to escape again, nothing of value left to plunder. The rhythms of my being were never meant to be played solo, heedlessly sung at peak voice to a packed house, yet unheard by the audience, or remain untouched by any emotions espoused. Sound sometimes seems to be absorbed by the darkness, silencing the lyrics to my muted tune, blinding me, crushing my aspiration to croon. No accompaniment to my performance, no one to hear my song. Everyone has departed, and I've been vocalizing offbeat all along. End poem.
Very nicely done, Rack. This poem sort of reminds me a little bit. I for my sins, was a very good boy soprano. I shouldn't say very good boy soprano. I was probably better than that because I was the head chorister and used to do all the solos by the age of 8 or 9. And it's funny when you do that for a little while because you know your voice is going to break, and mine did. And there was about a 2-year period where I'd open my voice and I wasn't sure what I was going to get. Sometimes it'd be high, sometimes it'd be low, sometimes it'd be somewhere in between, but I certainly couldn't sing because I didn't know whether I was a soprano or a bass or God knows what. And it is the most ridiculously frustrating thing because you know you've got a wonderful voice and all of a sudden you don't. And that sort of sense of uncertainty, I think, is really well sort of captured by this poem, Rack. I really like that about it.
Thanks, AP.
Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Rack's piece?
Well, yes, I do. It's a very touching poem, kind of sad. And I can see where the darkness has swallowed up your music, and the outcome is not a pleasant sound, it don't seem like. And it's kind of you're in a bad place after you don't have no music to lean back on no more. And you did a wonderful job, a lot of emotion in this, and I enjoyed the read all the way through. You did a good job, and maybe you hope you get your bright music back and darkness lets go of it. Good job.
Thanks, Wayne.
And Sweet Pea, what did you think of Rack's piece?
Well, you know what? I didn't hear Rack's piece. I was settling a dog. So, Rack,
okay.
I will read.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You will.
I had to settle a dog.
No, that's okay.
I will come.
No, I'm
sorry, Rack.
No.
He's going to hate me anyway because he called me. He already said to me today, I don't have time for him. So I'm so sorry, Raconteur.
Well, it just, you know, you can understand, Sweet, that it didn't sort of say to me, Amadeus had interrupted Sweet, so therefore she couldn't actually do the pump. So it didn't say that anywhere in the studio, so my apologies.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's
Amadeus. It didn't, because I just got back here. But you know what? I'm looking at the film, and I have heard it, and I do love this, just so that you know.
No, it's all good. You're
still fired.
I know. I'm fired.
No one's firing Sweet.
No one fired, Hatter.
I've heard it. But you know what? I have never commented on this poem, and I've heard it twice. I am really not a good person to you. Oh, my goodness. I will have to comment it now that I've heard it for the third time.
Now you will have to comment. That's exactly right, Sweet. You've got no way out of it. Meanwhile, while you're commenting, Deb, did you want to say some words about this piece by Rack?
Yeah, Rick, this was one of those ones that really hard and slam a person, slam the reader with emotion. I remember when you were done reading this the first time, I was just sitting there with like, how do you listen to something like this and then try to pick a favorite part? When it's the combined power that just socked you in the gut. So you don't pick a favorite spot. You just put it on a list, and that's what I did.
Thanks, Douglas.
Totally nice one. That's a good comment. Did you want to say some words about Rax?
Yeah, a cappella. You know, you stand there by yourself, either with a clean mic or... Although what I've written down is everybody's in time in their head, when there's no other struggle, only another musician know you were wrong. Everybody else thinks it's great.
Yes, you can say that. Yes.
Yeah.
When in doubt, just sort of make it up as you go along, Hatter. It worked for me last time on the radio.
That's right.
So
just keep going.
No, deep. Very well written, Rack. Enjoyed it a lot. So now this is the point of the program, Hatter, where I turn to you and ask you the question, how did the whole writing thing go this week? Did we give you a topic that worked for you, Hatter?
Actually, I did like it, the on-stage thing. Sure.
So, because I'm looking at it now, and I'm going to put it up on the board, and it's got a little bit of your artwork with it, which suggests that something must have been going wrong. So I'm going to put it up on the board.
Sorry,
now.
I'll try to stop doing that.
Really? Well,
okay.
She's just like about 20 seconds quicker than me. You know, it's just really cool.
It's called I'm Not Even Sure I'm Even Me.
That's the one.
And the prompt is the whole world is a stage. Is that what it was?
Yep.
It goes like this.
No,
I've never known what a golden rule. I've never known. What's that?
That's all yours.
Oh,
the stage is yours.
Okay. I've never known what a golden globe was for, nor did I ever think I would. But because I've won it twice before, I thought that maybe I should. I haven't seen my Grammys in such a long, long time. Last time I saw them, they were drinking Hatter wine. I can't remember to this day. I won an Emmy for a part I played. My Tony came when I was 10, a musical where I pretend to be someone that I am not, someone like me who acts a lot. As I grew, I knew my time would come. I can't remember where this Oscar's from, so I'd like to thank the Academy for knowing who I am, and thank you all for wanting to have me back again. I was a kid so long ago, no one cares or even knows that my life was a stage for all to see, and I'm not sure I'm even me.
Aha. Very interesting, Hatter. A very interesting way to go about it. I would not have thought to list out the Emmys and the Tonys and the Oscars and the Academies and
I had a whole thing of them. Yeah, I had a whole thing of them.
Did you?
And it didn't fit. I didn't fit. I had to settle.
Now, there's only one thing I would have changed. I would have tried, you know where that, in the stanza, the third stanza, where it finishes someone like me who acts a lot, yeah? I would have been so tempted to put axolotl or something like that, just so that you could have, when you said it, it came out as axolotl. Like that really strange sort of creature.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But I think that would have been really cool. I just think, you know, that's just me. Sweet, what did you think of Hatter's Piece?
Well, I stole all your Grammys and all your Emmys because I was jealous and they belonged to me anyway. I'm just letting you know. You always, well, no, they're in my bedroom because he always outshines me. I'm just a diva and it made me mad. But you're definitely here. You're here. Otherwise, I'd be very lonely. But of course, you have perfect rhyme, perfect cadence, and I kind of like the message of this. You know, are we really here, or are we just a bleep in a moment? I like that.
Interesting.
I had the Grammys, I had Aunt Emmy, and I had Uncle Oscar, and we were going to visit all, but it sort of fell apart. I was able to keep some of them, some of that. But it went down to the struggle of when you're a kid actor and you're famous like Mickey Rooney or Shirley Temple or it's a tough life after. You know, you can
be. Yes. I read somewhere that a lot of those awards are really useful for keeping nearby as a personal protective device. Because you basically hold them upside down where they're on the sort of stand, and then you sort of whack somebody with the stand, and they're sort of, you know, really quite useful as a sort of, you know, offensive weapon. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. Deb, what did you think of Hatter's Piece?
Well, I thought it was pretty awesome, especially that one line. I'd like to thank the Academy for knowing who I am. There's something kind of really sad in just that line, Hatter. I can't remember to this day. I won an Emmy for a part I played. My Tony came when I was 10 in the musical Where I Pretend. I like the approach that you took to this, and the art that you chose for it as well. And on a side note, using that as a segue, remember earlier when I was saying to you about gentle banter and poking each other ever so slightly? Well, I need to poke you here. Team, back me up. Don't you think that this man should put in his author's notes that it's his own art when he uses his own art and take a little credit for
Absolutely.
It? Jeez, I've been nagging him and I can't get through his thick crawl. Just saying.
No, I think you're a valid point there. No, got a valid point there, Deb. He's very, very poor at crediting his own artwork.
Absolutely.
So,
and like people are always so amazed to find out that it's his own work. So
no.
Put it in there, man.
No, absolutely. Now I am thinking we might do our collab next,
can I
and then I'm going to get you to go with.
Hey, over here, AP. Wait, AP, can I come in?
You can come.
Leave me up soon.
Please. And you're going to be up soon. We're going to do the collab and then your piece, just so you know.
Oh, well, we'll do that. But anyway, Hatter, I think you deserve every one of those awards, and you forgot about being named the poet of the decade. This is nice, and I can feel your pain. Awards get heavy, and the Rolls Royce is full. Being on top, to hurt your neck looking down all the time, so be careful. Great poem here.
Thank you, Wayne.
There you go. Great comment, Wayne. Thank you. So, Deb, we are now going going to put the second collab in the room, and then we're going to put Wayne's piece in the room. So that's the sort of order of things. So,
you know, I have to say it's getting kind of scary because I did put the collab in the room and then send Wayne a message that we would get him on there as soon as we did the collab, and then you said it before I had a chance to message you. So freaky.
No problem.
Anyway. Right? So here we go.
There you go. We've been doing this too long, Deb. You realize that. We're starting to get to that point. But Now, there was an extra piece about this, Deb, because there was a request to Hatter, well, certainly a request to me, I don't know if there was a request to Hatter, about perspective in this poem.
I did. I don't usually give them any kind of pretense or instruction other than, you know, tell me what you see. But this time I said I wanted them to sit down and write for me as if the little boy in the photo was them. So it turns into one story about the little boy, but from two different perspectives. So here we have, and I titled this, Kids, Stay in School, But Don't Take Your Cat With You. Here we go. What becomes of a kitten dreams if it's me that chooses where the fur balls will be? I'm just alone with curled kittens and their sass, suspended from school because the stupid rule no pets can ever. So I'm waiting for the man to come and fill up our gas. In positions like this, be careful what you wish, hearing the call of my ma, and see the crowds announcing that gas is free if you take two or three, or with a coupon, pick two for one from the kittens at my feet, their mewings raw and loud. Speaker broadcasts of the 9 cats and 5 cents for gas, and a dime will get you two as racing see only streaks, not even heads apart. Dad wrapped fresh chicken and eggs for a dime a dozen and paid 10 cents for the duck as the colors whiz, my imagination fueling dart. There at Granddad's corner store, there are more cats today than there will be tomorrow, and they are sweeping over the veldt up the grasses tall. Now 4 cats got free, and I'm sad that they'll be finding a forever home without me, out searching for zebra and an antelope to maul. Storad said that you may have already won, so we picked up for free, and Dad drives the car off onto the plane as I cuddle my new cats tight. All the raffles are done, and it's me that has won, so how many did you take and put in a basket curling up in sight? Now dreams are scattered like a crazy mad hatter, for it's as if we're on planes with a pack of lions free. So for the childhood times, I'll try to write rhymes, but there are places that I can keep reflecting upon adventures as cats clamor over me. End quote.
Cute. Very cute. It's a nice story. It's cute. It actually works, Hatter, which is quite concerning, given they haven't talked to each other. It's quite concerning. Sweet. You know what this is like, being in a sort of position where you have to put some words together and see what comes out. What was your sense of this combined poem?
Well, first off, I like the words you all put together. So that worked out really well for you. Because, A, the picture is pretty cool. I still don't know why I can't take the cat to school. But, I like, in positions like this, be careful what you wish. Hearing the call of my mom, seeing the crowd announcing that gas is free, you take two or three, or with a coupon, pick two for one. On the kittens at my feet, their mewing is raw and loud. I just like the whole process of it. I think this is great. You may have already won, so we pick up for free, and Dad drives off into the plane as I cuddle with my new cat. So this is really a great story. I mean, you guys came together so well. It's just cute and it's lovable and it's beautiful. And I don't know how Deb does it, or how the two of you kind of like mind melt Vulcan somehow. I guess the Vulcans, I guess they now have like Bluetooth, and you guys do it that way. The Vulcan Bluetooth melt. I'm not quite sure what you're doing, but I think that's happening because these are just too good.
Thank you, Sweet. That's very cool. Rack, what did you think of this little kitten combination?
I think you weren't pussyfooting around, and you did an amazing job.
Very nice.
it was nice. It's one of those things where I guess you guys kind of think saw the picture and you think alike, because it's almost discernible who went in which direction you were together, lockstep almost. So you did a great job, ending up in the same place, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think we sort of, in this particular instance, sort of saw it and saw a lot of similarities in our response pattern. I think we took it in the same way.
Yeah, wasn't as busy as much as the other ones that we've done, so we were a little limited.
No, I agree with you, Hatter, but there was enough there, but it was less, and so I think because there was less in the image about the boy, that we sort of found the same path. Yeah.
So now we've got to ask Deb, was it good enough narration, like we were from the kid?
Well, you tell me. I took your words and read it, and it was, he mentioned his mom, his dad, his grandpa, his dad. So I think that it was quite cohesive, and I think that, coming from the point of view and describing all those cats in the photo, I think he's did great and just had enough of separate pieces to spin it into a story like you always manage to.
I started off early getting them back, and I started writing the damn poem. I catch myself sometimes. And I go, oh, that's not what she wants. So I break it apart. I was naming all the kittens.
Yes. You see, I've written the poem the last few times. I'm going to get a comment from Wayne. And, Wayne, I'm then going to get you to read your piece.
I can do that. I think this is an amazing collab for y'all not to be working together. Y'all just prepare to think alike. And anything about cats is something I adore because I'm a cat man. And I can barely pick out the different poets. I can tell a little bit by the internal rhyme. I can pick out Hatter a little bit. But it's y'all did a great job on this poem. It's famous and well written, and a wonderful read there, Deb. I loved it a lot. Good job.
Thank you. Now we are going to get you to now turn to the board and read your piece. Good evening. Thanks for coming.
Okay. You ready? It goes like this. It's called.
We are.
Good evening. Good evening. Thanks for coming. Here I am, performing on the world stage. Heard the world laughing was all the rage. Performance lacking as I bow to age. Won't be long till I turn the page. Audience applauds as the curtain comes down. Then surrounded by strangers without a sound. Never got used to it, even though it was the norm. Amazing what people do to hear me perform. It's the lonely and heartbroken that I mostly attract. No matter how many times they come back. Not knowing that what I'm doing is no act. All the jokes they laugh at is really a fact. Holding back tears, I try to maintain. Do what I have to entertain. Doesn't bother me if audience complain. I'm not doing this for money or gain. It's a pleasure performing 24 hours a day. One day I'll shut up and hear what they have to say. My life won't be a movie, but it is a play. It would be better if everyone would pay. People say my act is good and ask me how. Just shake my head and say, wow. Then say, excuse me, I have to go for now. There have been times I've wanted to throw in the towel. Stand before you, blurting out my word. Most of the stuff I say already been heard. Take pleasure in saying what you think is absurd. But I'm happy to see the bird. Again?
Very neat. Wayne, now was there an inspiration for that piece specifically, or was that just a...
Just a topic.
I'm
going to
move on.
Yeah, it's the title you gave was just what I wrote. Just started writing, that's what came out.
Yeah, right. Well, most interesting. most interesting. I am going to head to Rack for a comment first.
Yeah, this is an excellent performance piece. So the world's a stage. You know, shake your hand and say, wow. I get it. You know, it's that feeling of people, you know, around you kind of looking at you in that way. And, you know, it's hard to avoid those feelings sometimes, I think. You did a great job.
Thank you.
And I am going to get a comment from Deb. What did you think, Deb, of Wayne's piece?
I like, from the first sentence, here I am performing on the world, heard the world laughing was all the rage. But there's something there, when you started off, Wayne, with the here I am performing on the world stage, just the here I am performing, it sets up you as, you know, here I am, vulnerable me on the stage. And then I heard the world laughing, and it was, so the world laughing put you at ease, and then you flowed into it with the audience clapping, and you fed off the thunderous clapping, and then it's the lonely and brokenhearted I mostly attract, no matter how many times they come back, not knowing what I'm going to do in the act. All the jokes, they laugh. They really affect. And it's like you, that stanza there is sort of like you're surprised that you have the power to do so, but you see that they keep coming back, so you must be doing pretty well. I like that you took it from the perspective of standing up on that stage for the world and attacked it with laughter. Fun share.
Thank you.
Deb, and I'm Sweet to make a comment, and then I'm going to get Sweet to do your poem.
Well, Wayne, if you're on the stage, I'm throwing my underpants.
That's great.
I really like this. I think it's kind of got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of sadness, though, at first, because, you know, you're like, I'm here, I'm playing, I'm performing. You know, when we think that, you know, you're on a stage and you're performing, sometimes we're wondering if that's really you. Are you doing a performance, or is that genuinely you there? And one of the things that with Shakespeare's, you know, all the world is stage, sometimes I always think that is that really you when people say the stage. One of the things that I compare Shakespeare to is one thing that Walt Disney said is, when you go to work, you're performing. You're not, you don't have to be you. You have to perform. You put on that stage. You're performing for me. And it's a great study in business is, you know, I need an employee. Why don't you go and act, be an actor for me, regardless of what your job is, you're acting for me. That's what I pay you to do. So sometimes I put that together with Shakespeare's All the World is a Stage. So, you know, Are we performing every day, or are we ever really ourselves? So I that line kind of, I took it a little different, but you always seem to be yourself, you know, happy and always there and always, you know, and I've seen you upset some days when the kids are doing something wrong, and I've seen you angry at parents, and I've seen, you know, kind of go through different emotions. So that's one thing I like about you is you always seem to be your real self. So I really did enjoy the poem because I think I like to see you kind of raw and out there, and, you know, where you say, I have to go for now. I have some time. So I wanted to throw in the towel. So I like kind of the raw honesty.
That's a great comment.
Thank you. Now, turn to you with your piece.
All right. This one I wrote a while ago for a contest on the same subject, All the World is a Stage. And that is Silent Bob, a.k.a. my son, being on stage. Actually, he's in front of his comic book store behaving as if he was Silent Bob. Or not Silent Bob, the other guy. No, that is Silent Bob. I don't know. He's one of them. Anyway, exit stage left. Speak softly the gentle words, silent, harsh cruelty. Brush away the teardrops that fall delicately, but heartbreak show no signs at all. Makeup artist mandate. Nails and lips shine red. Bedroom eyes wide, seduce. Gray clean, strapped in silky heels. Pearly white, smile gleams. Fools to play. Mother, sinner. Paradigm, dichotomy. Imp, angel, rebel, saint. Makeup never cracks. Judge, jury, lawyer, winners. Poise, perfection. Always calm. Rage, insanity. No one sees inconsistency. Actors act, parts play. Leave the stage. Plot thickens, war engaged. Reality stays. Boycott theme, rewrite now. Realign plot, original thought. Redesign set. New actor in, old actor exits, stage left. End poem.
Yes, well, isn't it the truth, sweet, that you get that stage actor and all of a sudden things move on and time has passed them by and it's the new actor before you know it that's replacing them. It's a really interesting insight and a great way to finish the poem. Hatter, did you want to say a few words about sweet?
Yeah, thank you. Okay. I want to make it right. Now, are you talking like a redoing a play or a? I got halfway through and I thought I knew what you were going on, and I think I lost it. I took it as
we're talking about
boycott the rewrite now. What?
You want to know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about my divorce.
Oh.
There you go. Hatter, does that help you get clarity about the poem?
Yeah. That play is done and you're waiting for the new curtain call. Is that what it is?
Pretty much. It kind of talks about, you know, just everything that went through, you know, your heart, everything's in there. Just your, everything changes and you go through all of that and, you know, plot thickens, everything, you boycott that theme, you rewrite, realign, originally you start thinking differently, and new actor in, you become a whole new person, and you exit stage left. It's the whole, you know, that's kind of what it was about.
Yep. Understand. Okie doke. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Sweet's poem?
Yeah, you know something, Sweet? I remember when you shared this the first time, and it was like, I thought it was so brilliantly clever the way you just managed to thread in all the steps and all the feelings and all the things that you went through and do it in so few words. And I thought the title and last line is brilliant, exit stage left. You know, gone, here I go. But I thought it was really, really powerful in the middle there where it says fools to play, lover, mother, sinner. Fools to play. Sometimes it's being made to feel like a fool. No, all the time being made to feel like a fool really sucks. And like you being able to go through all that and get out and start over and be the amazing powerhouse ginger that I know is awesome.
Thank you.
Or as you like to say, the little sister that I really like.
And great comment. Thank you, Deb. And Rack, do you want to say a few words about this week's poem?
Oh, it kind of makes me feel like I'm commenting on her divorce, but, you know. Yeah, it's, you know, unfortunately relatable. That last line hits home a lot for me. I think there's a subtle brilliance to that. I remember it from the cartoon, and I imagine he was quoting it from somewhere else, but, you know, I hear it in that lion's voice. Stage left. But, you know, it kind of puts things in perspective, too, you know, because in a lot of ways, like, you know, Shakespeare was saying, you know, life is like a play and we're just, you know, participants, you know. It's really, you know, the shifting of characters. It's like, you know, well, you weren't getting good reviews, so we're going to put in someone a little more popular.
And
in a lot of ways, that's a blow to the ego too. I mean, that's an emotional statement, and you know, I don't know. Not that some people don't realize it, but they don't, I guess, understand the impact it has. You know, it's one thing to say, well, you know, I'm getting divorced. But, you know, the emotions surrounding that, encompassing. I mean, yeah. Love you, sweet.
You know, great comment, Rack. I have to say that the emotions in here were quite relatable for me, Swift, because I'm coming up to having finally the first sort of session where we sit with a very high-paid mediator with two lawyers sitting in the room, and we spend a day actually trying to sort these whole things out. And I sat back and counted the number of emails that I had sent to my lawyer in the past 8 months. And they added a total of 391 emails in the last 8 months of disclosure. I thought to myself, I'm actually looking at just really forward to finishing this. So it's a horrible problem. And you know, as you say, divorce says one thing, but it's the process and the time and the energy and the effort to actually even put all the information together and get to the stage of being able to settle it that just takes a lot of effort. So I completely get it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I completely get it. Anyway, we put all that to one side for a tick. I've even provided photos of my poetry book collection. God knows why. Anyway, Hatter. We have to reflect upon you and ask you for the topic for next week. So, can I am warning you about. Yes, Wayne. Sorry, you want to comment,
Wayne? Just nobody. I don't know what I remember. But anyway,
no, you are far from nobody, Wayne. You are far from enough.
I'm going through the same thing that you're going through. I've been 6 months waiting to get into the middle of my divorce. If they put it off, they put it off, and got better to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what we all got to go through, I reckon. But this is a wonderful little poem here. Your life is an act that you have to star in. And I would like to say that I wouldn't mind being your co-actor for a while in your reality life show. time gets tricky in this poem, and you got to handle the problem, and you hope there is no reruns. Sign me up. I want to play with you. I mean, act with you. Great job.
Yeah. Well done, Wayne. It's funny the crosses we bear. I didn't realise you were doing that as well. So there you go. We've been going through that at the same time, and we haven't even sort of found that out in the face. There you go. Well done.
3 years.
Yeah. 3 years. Wow. I know. Well, it's about the same for me. So anyway, such is life. Basically, Bush Ranger Ned Kelly here said, "Such is life." Before he was executed by hanging. That may not be your topic for next week, Hatter, but you have a topic for next week.
Yeah, I think we'll go trees. Trees. Trees.
Trees. We can do trees.
Trees.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
We can do trees. Trees.
Trees.
Trees are good. Trees.
They're just an number of trees.
Trees. We're allowed to do trees. So... with that in mind, now that we have a topic for next week, I am going to turn and read the piece by Frank Soetic Picasso. That's called The World is a Stage. And then I'm going to finish my one, and then we're done. So this is by poet Picasso, The World is a Stage, and it goes a little bit like this. The world of today is full of the crowded circus of imitators and the thespian theatre of ingrates. The involving world of today get richer or get poorer by the day. The imitators prostitute their morals to reach fame. The famous prostitute their souls. The kings and men of power rule over their subjects like appointed divine gods of entitlement. They sit upon their self-righteous thrones like sculptured golden statues of Greek mythology to be feared. Heedless philanderers, not heedful philanthropists, selfish hedonism instead of inspiring philosophy. The deliberate crusades of ignorant minds and the creative odyssey of intellectual discoveries. Forsaken entitlement lost in the pages of dusty books and replaced by the obsession of technology. Disguised clowns masquerading as men of faith and corporate leaders pimping with the cloak and gavel of avidity. A spacious arena of vain demigods and radical pursuivants of apocalyptic illusions demented. Cults of erroneous doctrines inculcated and disciples of the duplicitous Judas propagated. Frivolous dogmas of anthropomorphic superiority and the psychedelic aberrations of junkies. Is the evident reality of the world of mortality, not the canvas of utopian artistry. You live one day and you die the other. You're famous today and today. The world is a stage, but the play is badly cast. I much prefer to watch in the auditorium and amuse myself. Crequia absurdum est. En com. Sorry, my Latin's so ordinary too, Frank, but we gave it a go. Deb, did you say a few words about Frank's piece? Hello, Deb.
Unmuted.
Oh.
Sorry about that. Sorry about the noise.
I think you might
sorry
have
about
dropped
the noise.
And come
I back. Yeah, no, I was trying to. I muted everybody because I was trying to make that noise go away, but I couldn't find it. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I thought he did really awesome with this. The world today is full of the crowded circus of imitators and the thespian theater of ingrates. I absolutely love that opening stanza and how sadly it is in a lot of cases. Where was that? Heedless philanderers. Not helpful philanthropists, selfish hedonism instead of inspiring philosophy. Selfish. There's so many selfish people, and it's just like sometimes just get a skin, your chin drops and you get skin your chin because you're like, really? On that stage, some people play their role too well. But
yes.
I thought this was a very clever take on
it. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Deb. And Wayne, what did you think of Frank's piece?
Did you say Wayne?
I did say Wayne.
Okay, that's me. I'm talking. This is a wonderful. We'll use some complex words in it. This poem has a lot of wonderful complex words in it to paint the picture of a performer who wishes not to be on the stage anymore. He's looking down on the job because of the level of people he has to perform alongside of. He did a great job in this poem, and it's very entertaining. And the words have probably kind of got me over my head there for a minute or two, but it's a great poem. I enjoyed the read. You did a good job reading it.
Thank you very much, Ryan. It did have some words in it, but they were very well used. Thank you. Rack, did you want to say a few words about this piece?
Lee, you want to talk about the world being a stage? I guess you should ask an actor.
You should.
He presented that well. I don't know where I could really go with it. It's It was it was wonderfully emotional and definitely, you know, on point for being scrutinized by, you know, other people. I enjoyed it, Frank.
Thank you, Rack. And Hatter, did you want to make a comment about that piece by Frank?
Yeah, I love the whole thing. I think it narrows down to the best lines here. The world is a stage, but the play is badly cast. I much prefer to watch in the auditorium and amuse myself.
Yes.
Great line.
Yes, it was a very nice line. I agree. I once heard the line say by somebody, you know, if there's a whole heap of people who want to be leaders, then they're probably the wrong people. But anyway, putting that all to one side, I am going to finish tonight, Hatter. We've got Trees, of course, next week, but I'm going to finish with my piece for the world to stage. And I actually did one of Deb's pieces sort of was able to be used for this. This is Giant's Rumba and goes a little bit like this. Glow flashing to westward, neon mist blazing tonight. A huge puppet on a cord is being dragged in stage right. As clouds of the boards under a seat of a giant, pepper of a pipe of the health advice defiant. Noise spiralling to slam as rains rise such mirrors. Howling wrenches scam below forests they shiver. A single fur in the trees ignites into a pyre. Shadows as frisbees, spiralling off fire. And the giant lumbers, onwards he goes past. Stutters as rumbers, storm below, echoes in pomp. That was a different take. That was a different take on the whole topic. So, Deb, what did you think of that one?
You know, I really liked this, especially like the huge puppet on the like stage right as clouds of the boards. But where's the other? Oh no. Noise spiraling to slam in the such mirrors, howling wrenches scam below forest they shiver. There was something in the play of like smoke and mirrors type of thing. I got a feel there. The giant numbers already goes past, stutters as rumbas storm below echoes cast. There was the storm below echoes cast like a haunting from before or remnants from a storm. I thought this came out really, really clever, and the use of the verb banks, excellent. I like how you managed to work frisbees into there too, just saying.
Yes. Thank you, Dave. Rack, did you want to say something about this one?
Oh, I like the idea. You know, when we talk about the stage, you know, you kind of have to go back when you think of when the puppets were on stage. But, you know, that's one of the things that were definitely, you know, featured on a stage. So it was a great take on it because, you know, when you start talking about puppets and marionettes and being manipulated and people pleasing and all kinds of things like that come to mind, you know, the whole puppet on the string idea tying to life is you know, again, relatable. So that was a great take on it, and it took it in an unexpected direction, at least until you started to, you know, get into it. And then it was like, you know, very easy to settle into and extremely relatable.
Mm. No, thank you, Ray. Thank you. And Wayne, did you want to say a few words about this little ditty?
Well, of course. It's a very well-written poem. You get great rhyme in it and well-balanced. I like the metaphor of the storm and outside trees and the outside environment. I like the part where he said, below the forest they shiver. That was a great line. That's a great line there. And he went on to say, I can't read my writing because I kind of missed my typing up. They shiver in shadows of the frisbees. They are spiling off the fire. That's a great rhyme, too. You did a good job with this, and a lot of metaphors in it, and I enjoyed it.
Kiwan, thank you.
And Hatta, it's your comment, your last comment of the night. What did you make of this one?
Yeah, to point out in your author's note, the prompt, poetry is an echo asking a shadow to dance, Carl Sandburg.
Yeah.
That is an excellent line. And it, where is it? As clouds are the boards, as clouds are the boards, the thunders speak of a giant pepper and a pipe lords of the heath of the health advice defiant. Just surrounded by good line. That was excellent.
Thank you. Thank you, Hatta.
Now, I should say, before we sort of close up shop, I should say that Il Nostro Regno and JCA have got their open poetry show at 6 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. So a little shout out to those guys. If you're around early, please drop by and say hello. And we have... for Death, what have we got coming up on A Team of Voices?
Monday at 10 p.m. We have Personal Poet Monday, and there's a four-part challenge. All the photos that are choices are of the four seasons, so pick a season that tickles your fancy and run with it. And then, and like I said, that is at 10 p.m. Eastern. And on Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, Pretty Bird is going to do the rain date show from the one she had to cancel. Her topic is respiratory distress, the moments that take your breath away. So that's the next couple of things.
Perfect. Thank you, Deb. And now I would like to do all the thank yous, if I could. Very much... like to thank Wayne and Rack for sticking with us for the whole show. My thanks to both of you. And we had Sweet and we had Stephen who dropped by at the start of the show. And then we had Frank that was good enough to leave a poem for us to read. And then, of course, we had my co-hosts. We had Hatta, who's always fun, and we have Deb, who's managed to put two collaborations together this week. So my thanks to Deb, thanks to Hatta for making it all happen.
Always a pleasure,
So now next week, I should say, that we have The Wonderful World of Trees. So let's see what we can do with that. Meanwhile, I'm sort of thinking about what we're going to go out with, Deb, and I'm thinking maybe a Beatles song. Why not? They're short and they're funky and they're jumpy and they still make sense today. So I was probably going to go with Love Me Do, since that's one of the early ones and a great sort of boppy number to finish. So with that, we're going to go out, Hatta and Deb and everybody. My thanks for sticking along with us. And here come the Beatles. Okay.
Good night, everyone.
We'll talk soon.
Good night.
Love me do. Oh, love.
Isn't that a great song? That was written and released 51 years and 2 months ago. 51 years and 2 months ago. And the person who was playing the harmonica, of course, was John Lennon, who was a fantastic harmonica player. So anyway, with all of that, thank you for being with us today. And we will be back in our normal slot, in our normal time, with Hatter and Deb and I talking about trees in a week's time. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Night.
Bye.